Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Letterkenny University Hospital is experiencing significant pressure on bed availability. The MICA Action Group is asking Fine Gael MEP Colin Markey to clarify changes he's seeking to amendments to a report on defective blocks being voted on next week in the European Parliament. There's renewed calls for a review of all fire hydrants in Donegal, and searches for a missing Strabane man have entered their 12th day. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First in news this evening, almost 250 people have presented at Letterkenny University Hospital's emergency department over the past 2 days. As a result, there's significant pressure on bed availability at the hospital. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Yesterday, 179 patients attended the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital. Today, up to lunchtime, the attendance was over 69. Selda says many of those presenting are very sick, frail and elderly and need to be admitted for treatment. The hospital group says every effort is being made to discharge patients who are ready to go home so that beds can be made available for those who need to be admitted. Again, people are being urged to avail of non-emergency care such as GP out-of-hour services and pharmacies in the first instance. Anyone who does require emergency care is encouraged to attend the ED where they will be prioritised.
The MICA Action Group is asking Fine Gael MEP Colin Markey to clarify changes he's seeking to amendments to a report on defective blocks being voted on next week in the European Parliament. Mr Markey says the controversial phrase of force majeure will now be removed and 2 other technical amendments will be deleted. However, Mike said those amendments contain important references to mortgageability and other key issues. Donna Marie Doherty reports.
In a statement, Mr Markey says while he intended the force majeure reference to provide flexibility around regulations such as planning, others have interpreted it differently. He says having re-engaged with some of the key representatives from the action groups who have concerns about the phrase but do not want to lose the other very positive elements of the amendment, he has assured them the amendment will be voted on in sections. Responding, Mag says he never consulted them and are seeking clarity on how that will affect the other elements. Separately, Mr Markey says he is concerned about a deletion in Amendments 2 and 3 that removes important wording at a technical level. He says he has asked for these amendments to be withdrawn. That has happened. However, Mag says these amendments also include important references to mortgageability and compliance. Both statements can be read in full on our website, highlandradio.com.
There's renewed calls for a review of all fire hydrants in Donegal. As the fire service battled a blaze at a pub in Castlefin on Sunday evening, efforts were hampered due to low water pressure. It's believed crews were forced to travel 2 miles to access a hydrant with adequate pressure. This is just the latest after issues were reported when the fire service responded to fires in Newton Cunningham and Letterkenny in recent months. Councillor Gary Doherty says there needs to be assurances that all hydrants are in a working condition when needed.
Yeah, it's very concerning and deeply troubling that the fire service, who are so quick and professional in their response to emergency situations, should face issues such as this when they arrive at scene. And it's something, probably something that we all take for granted, that a fire tender will have ready access to water. But sadly, Sunday was not the first time that this issue has arisen this year alone in County Donegal.
And it wasn't a case, whereas we've seen previously, where they couldn't access the hydrant. They had access, but it was a water pressure issue.
Yeah, Sunday's events in Castlefin were probably exacerbated by the ongoing works to install the new water mains in the town, which is, of course, something that was badly needed. But we need to ensure that fire hydrants are, they're always accessible with an adequate supply of water in anticipation of emergency situations such as what we've seen on Sunday evening in Castlefin. And look, this is an issue that I'll be raising with Donegal County Council, as I think the public need to know that we have an up-to-date inventory of fire hydrants, first of all, across the county, and second of all, we need to ensure that these are all in good working order, and that we need to ensure that each of them always has an adequate supply of water at all times in case of emergencies, such as what we witnessed on Sunday evening in Castlefin.
Searches for a missing Strabane man have entered their 12th day. Jordan Gallagher was last seen on Saturday, March the 2nd at around 9:15pm. A major search operation has been ongoing since. Colin McDade is part of the search team. He has this advice for those looking to get involved.
But it's eyes on the water at this stage. That we need people that's out walking, people that usually be on the river banks. Anything they see unusual, to contact the police or the Gardaí, depending on what side they're on, and some of the emergency services then will react. People coming to the searches, well, they're appealing to people to come in out of the bank holiday weekend. People will have a bit of extra time, and you know, if you're going for a walk, go in groups, don't come alone, wear proper clothing. We've got people at the start who just want to help, it's a natural thing, but they're landing with a pair of runners on them to the riverbank. You need welting boots, you need good walking boots, good walking shoes. Bring wet gear with you, high vis if possible, a communication device, and stay together in groups. But we would appeal to people to go onto the page, bring Jordan homepage. There's times on there where people are meeting. There's safety briefings given. You're going to get people doing their own thing anyway, Greg, and we, you know, me or you can't stop that. Mm-hmm. But we would rather do it in a coordinated approach. It's more beneficial to the agencies involved. It's more beneficial to the family.
A man has appeared in court charged in relation to the false imprisonment of a woman earlier this week. 40-year-old Carl O'Reilly of Higginstown Heights in Granard, County Longford, appeared before Bray District Court earlier. Barry White has more.
40-year-old Carl O'Reilly from Higginstown Heights, Granard, County Longford, appeared in Bray District Court this afternoon, charged with falsely imprisoning a woman who was abducted in Wicklow in the early hours of Tuesday morning. Mr. O'Reilly is also charged with threats to kill, assault and the possession of knives. The court heard that the 31-year-old victim, who cannot be named to protect her identity, described being locked in a van that Carl O'Reilly was driving on March 12th. During this ordeal, he threatened to kill her and held a penknife to her throat. The woman was subsequently found by Gardaí in Mayo and Mr. O'Reilly was arrested. Gardaí objected to bail because of a threat of flight risk and Carl O'Reilly was remanded in custody. He will appear before Bray District Court again via video link on March 21st.
It's been confirmed that Donegal County Council's road safety engineer is currently carrying out an assessment of the area around St Patrick's National School at Lurgybrack on the outskirts of Letterkenny, and officials continue to liaise with Transport Infrastructure Ireland about the situation there. The issue was raised at a Letterkenny Milford Municipal District meeting by Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh, who acknowledged that €10,000 has been allocated to the road outside the school this year, but that's only for road lining and not road safety. Councillor Kavanagh says active travel schemes, which are available within the town boundary, should be extended to schools on the outskirts in areas like Lurgybrack. Most importantly, he says, the safety survey, which began last year, needs to be completed and given to members and engineers.
The problems persist there. We're still waiting on a report from the safety engineer, which has been requested now for a long time. The parking in the mornings is a real problem. Coming away from the school is a major problem for people trying to drive away from it as well. It's really, really dangerous. We need to get that safety audit done. We need to see what to come up with, and we need to source funding to tackle the problems there. I would like also to see the active travel extended out to take in Lurgybrack School as well.
You also mentioned there's Illestrin, there's Woodlands on the outskirts, and you believe the active travel could really help in that respect.
One of the problems with Lurgybrack is walking down to it. The kids are walking through muck, so they can't use that option really of walking down to school. There's a potential path there for the kids that are living above the school in the Balba Fay side, where they could safely walk to school. I think active travel could address these things, as it would for Alliston and Woodlands also. Raised Woodlands several times too, but because they're on the outskirts of the town, they don't qualify for active travel. But I think that's missing a beat a bit, because those places could benefit even more from active travel and from walking to school and cycling to school than maybe a lot of the schools around the town could, you know. So I think that should be addressed. But the immediate safety issues at Lurgybrack School, they're a source of great worry to the principal there and to all the school users and the parents and the children. And, you know, we need to get that safety report, and we need to get those issues addressed, and we need to see clearly what the engineers intend to do there.
Meanwhile, Donegal County Council is being urged to install speed ramps at Skullcullen Kill in Kilmacrenan. The issue was raised by Councillor John O'Donnell, while a separate motion calling for more flashing lights at the same location was moved by Councillor Michael McBride and seconded by Councillor Pádraig McGarvey. Councillor Liam Blaney, the third Milford electoral area councillor, seconded Councillor O'Donnell's motion, saying he too had been approached by parents and residents. Officials pointed out that a safety review was carried out at the school last month and new road markings were installed to improve vision lines at the school crossing. Councillor John O'Donnell acknowledges that, but says the fact that all the local councillors were approached is significant.
When you see three councillors from that area getting representations on this hot topic, I think it's very important that we follow through on it. The executive here and our roads engineer has listened quite closely, and I do believe that he will take our views on board and install temporary ramps at the moment to see how they perform, and then replace full-time ramps if they're a success and they're needed.
314 planning permission applications were granted in quarter four of last year in Donegal. 145 were for new dwellings, while 70 were for other new construction projects. 72 extensions were granted and 27 applications related to alterations or conversions. Gardaí are appealing to people to stay safe on the roads this weekend as the number of road deaths increases. 42 lives have been lost so far this year, three more than the same time last year. Superintendent Liam Geraghty says behind every death, there's a grieving family.
Two more fatalities in the last 24 hours. Again, the statistics are not good again this year. We have 42 deaths on our roads. That's 42 families now bereaved, missing somebody at their home. Won't be celebrating St. Patrick's weekend with that loved one this weekend. And again, that is up on last year, which was showing an increase on previous years as well.
Donegal County Council has been allocated €337,133 for the repair and renovation of historic and heritage buildings. 20 projects are being funded in the county, 16 of them through the Built Heritage Investment Scheme and 4 through the Historic Structures Fund. The Donegal projects that have been earmarked for funding under the two schemes are in Ballyshannon, Raphoe, Fannet, Remelton, Dunkaneely, Ardragh, Greencastle, Letchermike Award and Killy Gordon.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
A quarter past five, it's time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with horse racing, and it's day three at the Cheltenham Festival, and Gordon Elliott has finally broken his duck at this year's festival, as Dennis Kerwin reports.
Ti Hoopoe gave Gordon Elliott his first winner at this year's festival with a hugely impressive success in the Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle. Jack Kennedy arrived at the last in front and guided the 5-4 favourite to a four-length victory over two-time Stayers Hurdle winner Flooring Porter, with Home by the Lee filling the places. Earlier, Dan and Harry Skelton won the Turner's Novices Chase with 5-2 joint favourite Grey Dawning, who beat Ginny's Delight by a length. And they completed a double for the second consecutive day in the Ryanair Chase when 17-2 shot Protectorat outbattled Envoy Allen and Rachel Blackmore on the run-in. Paul Nichols got off the mark when he landed the Partemps Hurdle with 25-1 shot Mon Miral, the mount of Harry Cobden, and Ben Pauling's Shake 'Em Up Barry, owned by Harry Redknapp, won the plate handicap at odds of 8-1. So a good day for Gordon Elliott winning the day's feature race. At the Cheltenham Festival with Paddy Power News for all your Cheltenham Festival tips, I'm Dennis Kerwin.
In rugby, Ireland head coach Andy Farrell has kept faith with the same starting 15 for Saturday's Six Nations showdown with Scotland. Kelvin Nash has recovered from a head injury sustained in the defeat to England and will start on the wing. Farrell has reverted to a 5-3 split on the bench, meaning there's room for Gary Ringrose for the first time this year. Harry Byrne deputises for Jack Crowley in the absence of Kieran Frawley. Glasgow centre Stafford McDowell will start for the first time for Scotland, while Ben White is restored at scrum half. And France, they have named an unchanged team to play England in Saturday's Six Nations game in Lyon. That means Thomas Ramos is retained at out half. In soccer, interim Republic of Ireland manager John O'Shea insists the next permanent boss had no input into his squad. There could be up to three Republic of Ireland debutants in this month's friendlies, including the top scorer in the English Championship. Blackburn Rovers striker Sammy Samaric has joined the interim manager John O'Shea's squad. He's joined by Middlesbrough's Finn Azaz and Jack O'Brien of Lyon. Captain Seamus Coleman is back from injury, and there's recalls for Robbie Brady and Callum O'Dowda. But John Egan, Shane Duffy and Jason Malumbu, they're all out injured. Ireland will play Switzerland and Belgium, who have ruled out midfielder Kevin De Bruyne for the trip to Dublin. O'Shea believes Sammy Smoric will make a fine addition to the squad.
Obviously, every level he's gone to, he seems to have obviously responded to it and been able to cope with it no problem, and been an important player, and he's just grown and had that maturity now in his game, and I think he's versatile in that sense too.
Queen's Park Rangers forward Sinclair Armstrong missed out in the senior squad, but he's included by manager Jim Crawford in the under-21 squad to play San Marino. And Manchester United defender Johnny Evans has been left out of Northern Ireland's squad for their friendlies against Romania and Scotland. He's played the last three matches for his club, but has been suffering with calf and foot injuries. Liverpool's Conor Bradley returns to Michael O'Neill's squad after recovering from a back problem. On the pitch tonight, West Ham must overturn a 1-0 first leg deficit to reach the quarterfinals of the Europa League. They're at home to Freiburg. That game starts shortly at 5:45. At the same time, Rangers resume level at 2 goals apiece at home to Benfica. Liverpool's game with Sparta Prague is a bit of a formality this evening. The Premier League side lead 5-1 from the first leg, while Brighton are 4-0 down to Roma ahead of their second leg at the Amex. In the Conference League, Aston Villa and Ajax are goalless ahead of their second leg at Villa Park. That one starts at 8 o'clock. In golf, Rory McIlroy's made a good start to the Players' Championship. He's 6 under par with 2 holes remaining in his first round. That's despite a double bogey at his 16th hole. He's 1 behind Xander Schauffele. Seamus Power has just teed off and Shane Lowry goes out just after 6 o'clock. Finally, this evening on the score this week with Oisin Kelly, he's joined by two Castles featherweight Jude Gallagher following his qualification for the Olympic Games in Paris. Also on this week's League of Ireland chat, Chris Ashmore gets the thoughts of former Finn Harps player Joe Boyle. Plus in Gaelic games, we go to the County of Kildare ahead of their clash with Donegal in the National League this weekend. There's also managers' reactions from Donegal's under-20s and minor victories over Cavan this week. That's all on the score after 7 o'clock. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. Weather now, a cloudy evening with outbreaks of rain and drizzle. The rain will be heavy at times with the chance of spot flooding. Lowest temperatures tonight of 5 to 8 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. Letterkenny University Hospital is experiencing significant pressure on bed availability. Almost 250 people have presented at the hospital's emergency department since yesterday. The Mica Action Group is asking Fine Gael MEP Colin Markey to clarify changes he's seeking to amendments to a report on defective blocks being voted on next week in the European Parliament. Mr Markey says the controversial phrase force majeure will now be removed and two other technical amendments will be deleted. However, Mike say those amendments contain important references to mortgageability and other key issues. There's renewed calls for a review of all fire hydrants in Donegal. As the fire service battled a blaze at a pub in Castlefin on Sunday evening, efforts were hampered due to low water pressure. And searches for a missing Strabane man have entered their 12th day. Jordan Gallagher was last seen on Saturday, March the 2nd at around 9:15pm. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore.
Coming up, I'll be speaking with Newton Cunningham's Stephen Robb, the renewables editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, on a range of issues including electricity grid connection and battery energy storage systems. But first, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue has announced that tillage farmers will be exempted from what is commonly known as the three-crop rule. The adverse weather and seed shortage has restricted the crop options for tillage farmers this spring, and Met Éireann data shows that most rainfall stations experienced more than 150% of the average rainfall in the period between July and December 2023. Meanwhile, IFA Rural Development Chair John Curran has acknowledged the extension granted to the spreading date for lime purchased under the National Liming Programme. Some 14,500 farmers submitted claims for lime purchased under the programme, but poor land conditions resulting from heavy rainfall have made it difficult to meet the original deadline of March the 31st. Turning now to the renewable sector and to get an update in relation to some of the latest developments, I've been speaking with Stephen Robb, renewables editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, Stephen, thanks for joining us. I suppose one of the big issues is the lack of connectivity to the national grid, and that's going to hamper development, particularly in counties like Donegal.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris, and thanks for having me on. It's going to be the biggest challenge, I would say, facing any renewable electricity project which a farmer might embark on, or indeed any commercial developer for that matter. And Donegal is really the best example of grid limitations and issues with grid capacity around the country. And I've been at several conferences and events where Donegal is used as a case study of just how bad our grid is up here. So what it really means, Chris, is that we're rolling out solar PV on rooftops, and there's lots of really good grants available, and there's bigger grants and bigger schemes coming down the line to make commercial farm scale wind turbines or maybe small scale solar farms viable for farmers. But those options aren't really available to you if you don't have the correct grid connection. So in other words, for a small maybe. Small energy user, dry stock tillage farmer, for example, 6, 7, 8 kilowatt system or so, solar PV system, that'll work. They'll have the grid capacity for it. You could nearly guarantee that. But really, when you're getting into the bigger systems, 20, 30, 40, 50 kilowatt systems, lining your rooftop with solar panels, then you're getting into the problems, especially if you're aiming on exporting some of that to the grid. And look, I guess the challenge is that, especially with Donegal, grid reinforcement costs are quite high, and there's not a huge, I suppose, pipeline of major connectivity projects planned for Donegal. So this issue is probably going to be here to stay, unfortunately.
So looking forward, there's huge potential out there for renewable projects within the county, huge potential for many farmers to maybe have some solar or wind power generated, but the difficulty is putting it into the grid. I know coming down the track shortly that there is going to be a renewable energy event coming up in April.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is actually our own event with the Irish Farmers Journal, and we're running a renewables roadshow, a series of events throughout April. The whole idea is that these are an information evening events whereby farmers can come along and just learn the actual facts and figures around renewable options for farmers, that being solar PV, that being anaerobic digestion, renewable heat, and of course retrofitting your farmhouse. They're completely free to attend. This is the first phase of rolling these events out. That's why we're not actually up in the northwest this round, but hopefully the next round we will get to the northwest. But certainly if anyone is coming down Cavan direction on the 22nd of April, that's probably the closest one to Donegal. But look, I know I was somewhat critical of the grid infrastructure in Donegal, but there are still really, really good opportunities for farmers to install rooftop solar PV, for example, to generate their own renewable electricity to displace what they're importing. And look, there's good grants available, very, very good grants available, up to 60% under TAMS.
We all know that if there is a period of maybe when most of the wind farms in Ireland are operating, and we can actually generate more electricity than we need at times. The problem then is, how do you store that excess power that's been created? And in this area, we are going to see quite interesting developments in terms of battery storage. So tell us a little bit about what's coming down the track there.
There seems to be a real kind of flurry of activity in this area. So battery energy storage systems, or BESS for short, these are essentially large batteries which are connected to the national grid, either through at a substation or potentially added on to a wind farm or a solar farm, for example. And it does exactly as you would expect it to do. It will store energy, electricity, whenever it can't be exported to the grid, or whenever there's curtailment issues, or there needs to be some grid balancing done, and then it will release it whenever it's needed, or whenever it can be exported to the grid. There's quite a few battery energy storage systems in development around the country. There's 17 connected to the grid at the moment. There's at least two in development in Donegal that I know of. But I suppose the really interesting part here for farmers is that if you happen to be approached by a developer, or you have a suitable site, maybe next to a substation for a battery energy storage system, the leases are really, really valuable. So I would have spoken to a lot of farmers over the past few weeks since beginning to report about this, and I would have got figures of up to 20 to 25,000 euro per acre per year for up to 30 years of a lease. Equally, it's a new area. There's not a lot of information known about this. Some farmers have been approached by developers and have been offered as low as 1,200 euro an acre. The message actually in this week's Farmers Journal, that's what I'm writing about, is that you really have to think carefully before you sign any dotted line. You have to get as much advice around lease values as possible.
Stephen, just while we have you on the tillage sector, I hardly need to mention the fact February, it rained pretty much every day here in Donegal. So in this part of the world, things very much behind schedule, and there must be concerns about the year ahead.
I wish I had some more positive news. No, look, things aren't great in the tillage sector at the moment. Look, what it means is there's windows, certain windows for crop planting, which have now gone, really. What it really means is that crops are just going to be planted that little bit later, so you're going to have ultimately lower yield potential because it's not going to be growing for as long. You're probably going to see a bigger area of spring barley in this year, and looking at the economics of spring barley, you know, it's questionable if it's worthwhile. There's farmers really considering fallow this year as an example, so just leaving your land, you know, growing a cover crop or something like that, because they don't see a margin in spring barley. So as for winter crops, look, they've come through a really, really difficult winter. We actually had a farm walk down their own farm with Chagas a number of weeks ago, and we were out and look, quite a poor field of winter wheat. It was sown after fodder beet, and we did an assessment to see if it was worthwhile keeping that crop or ploughing it up and putting in the spring crops. And the margin's just not in spring crops or spring barley at the moment to justify ploughing up that field of winter wheat. So we're going to keep it, and we're going to bring it through to harvest and see how it does. And that kind of a question and those kind of calculations are going on right across the country.
And that was Stephen Robb, Renewables Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association General Secretary Eddie Punch will run in the upcoming European elections. The Clare man, who has worked for 25 years at the ICSA, will run as an independent candidate in the 5-seat South constituency. He has given notice to the ICSA that he will step down as General Secretary after 25 years in the role. And meanwhile, Chagas has launched a new booklet, Your Tree Planting Companion, which explains the key stages to successfully planting and looking after trees. It's available from your local Chagas Forestry Advisor and can also be downloaded from the Forestry section of the Chagas website. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 14th of March. The death has taken place of Michael McGarvey, Bridge End, Rimelton, reposing at his home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass on Saturday at 10 in St Mary's Church, Rimelton, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Patrick Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Peggy Coyle, née Joyce, Carrick Boyle, Derry Beg, originally of Ballybrone, Turlochmore, County Galway. Her remains are reposing at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derry Beg, until Rosary tonight at 8. Removal afterwards to the family home in Carrick Boyle, which is private to immediate family only, please. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Derry Beg, with interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The Funeral Mass can be viewed on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has occurred of Michael James Mickey McLaughlin, 25 Ballynasillo Avenue, Derry, formerly of Lewis Street, Rosemount, Derry. Mickey's remains are reposing at his home. Family time, please, from 8 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 20 past 9, going to St Patrick's Church, Pennyburn, Derry, for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the city cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Alzheimer's Society, Seven Oaks, Crescent Link, Waterside. The death has occurred of John Doherty, St Anne's, Moyle Road, Newton Cunningham, formerly of Sheriff's Mountain, Glenown. John's remains are reposing at his late residence on Moyle Road until 8:30 tonight, followed by rosary. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:20, going to All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Mass can be viewed on the parish webcam. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to All Saints Church Fund, Newton Cunningham, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Charlie O'Neill, 20 Lisbunny Road, Dunamana, reposing at his late home until 10 o'clock tonight. Funeral tomorrow morning, leaving his home at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ahabrack. Interment afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family home private, please, before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the Foyle Hospice, care of McLaughlin Funeral Directors, Dungiven. And the death has taken place of Paddy Gill, 2 St Mary's Park, Cockhill, Buncrana. Remains reposing at McLaughlin's Funeral Home, Buncrana, this evening until removal at 7 o'clock to St Mary's Church, Cockhill, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass there tomorrow morning at 11, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.